I just always want to be a clown. Stephanie, if I told you I want to go to clown school so bad.
I feel like this has been mentioned.
I want to go to clown school so
I'm
bad.
so glad I hit record when I did.
And they give you a red nose, like when you graduate, like you get your clown nose. I want
Let's make this happen.
be a clown.
Following podcast is not approved by the Comics Code Authority. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello and welcome to the Retcon Podcast, your weekly friendly neighborhood comic book club. I'm Parker Robbins, they, them.
And I'm Stephanie Johnson, she, her.
And I'm Catalicia, they, them. I'm trying not to laugh.
Oh boy.
Hey everybody, those listening and those here in the recording. How is everyone coping? How are you doing?
Well, you know, for the people who know what happened this past week. Well, I don't know. That's gonna come out. So
even last week. Yeah.
Last week for y'all. American rock band My Chemical Romance announced that they were going to go on a little tour.
Just a little teensy guy.
A little revival of sorts.
Around the North American area of the world. Mostly the United States.
Sorry, folks.
Sorry to you girls that are not from here. But they were like, yeah, girl, we're going to do a stadium tour, lol.
Oh yeah, it's just the Black Parade. Don't worry about it. Ha!
And the three of us panicked. I mean, we actually handled it very well.
I think overall, and, yeah.
Yes, and we got in that little queue. Had some problems for that first show. I got in first, got kicked out because it crashed or something.
Being
and
too
then I
rowdy.
Ticketmaster. Mm-mm.
Yeah, but then Kat got in, came in clutch, slid in, and now we have some nice seats for our elder bodies.
Yes,
but then
and or
I was about to say, then, like, you're not cutting off there. You're not going to leave out the madness of what you two did after I went to work.
Listen.
Look, so again, My Chemical Romance was like, oh my God, girl, what if we added a second day in Los Angeles? And the tickets go on sale in like 2 hours. And I was like, well, what if I just went in the queue?
What if we just snuck in?
Let me just see what's going on. And so I hopped in and it went through and I was like 1300th in line. And I was like, period, bitch. And did I snag pit tickets for day two? Yes, I did. I did. And now we have to decide which one we're going to go to. Because Pitt, it was cheaper because we got in at a good time.
Yes.
It wasn't as expensive, but it's also Pitt. It's a little bit more intensive on the body. So it's just things we got to think about.
Yes. And mind you, this was all happening as we were like celebrating getting the first tickets that we definitely spent too much money on. And we're just not even going to talk about that. And we were set. We were like, wow, this is so exciting. And then Stephanie dropped the fact that they were doing another one. And then we were like,
and at this point, I said, I'm muting the group chat. I'm at work. You're both crazy. I support you in whatever you decide.
And originally, it was 2v1 Parker Stephanie against me because I am like, you know, like a little disabled. But it's fine. And I'm just going to prep my body and do lots of like stretching and maybe start some lightweight training to help with like my knees and my body because I want to be in the fucking pit. I want to be in the pit. And I said I wanted to be in the pit, and both of them were like, Kat, no. And I was like, my body, my choice.
Using slogans against people who are looking out for you. But you know what? They were right. So I was like, look, I'm here. And I have 3 pit tickets in the cart. So I would just press okay.
And then we can sell whichever ones we need to.
Yeah, exactly. So we're gonna discuss it, we're gonna talk about it, and we're gonna get it's gonna be fun. Either way, we're gonna see My Chemical Romance at Dodger Stadium in July. Either way. You know what? Somebody pointed out that at no point in any of the promo materials does it say that they're going to be playing the Black Parade. It's just My Chemical Romance and then the Long Live in quotes and then the Black Parade. And when they did When We Were Young, they were like, we are playing the Black Parade in full.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, yeah, whatever. But I'm like, what does that mean? And a lot of their posts have like things in quotes that feel like song titles. Like when you look at the description, it says Concrete Age, and that's like in quotes. And then The Good Boy with the dog, that was in quotes. And Long Live itself is in quotes. So I'm like, girl,
drop a new album on us?
What are you doing, Michael Romance? We don't know.
We don't know. And all I do know is we are going to show up dressed to the fucking nines.
Yes.
And it's going to be so good. I have to figure out what's what. Like it's like you said, if no one's following Stephanie on TikTok, please go do it. It's the same username everywhere. Serious Danger, SIRIUS, serious, right? It's hilarious, and please do it. And I watched her TikTok blow up in real time because I was laughing so hard. Because I've been telling you your Instagram stories. I'm like, you need to post those on TikTok because it's like a TV show and it's fucking funny and other people are gonna love it. And then Stephanie posted a fucking Instagram story on TikTok and it blew up and is hilarious. Yeah,
wild. I think I will do a little dual posting. I'll have my little stories.
Little posty post.
We'll see what happens.
A little posty post.
And I'm going to do the obligatory, let's tie this all back into Spider-Man.
Sure.
Oh, very easily. For you see, Gerard Way does not only do music. Gerard Way also writes comics. And one comic that Gerard Way wrote was called Edge of Spider-Verse.
He's written for Spider-Man?
Yes. Edge of Spider-Verse, and then in Spider-Geddon, also appeared. This character has also appeared in Across the Spider-Verse. Mm-hmm. And Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah,
have just dropped it into the chat. Penny Parker.
Yeah, Penny.
Oh! Cute!
So, there we go.
Cute. Well, nicely done. Gerard Way, we love you.
Yeah.
Sure do.
And also, how dare you have us wrapped around your little fucking fingers. And like Spider-Man, who definitely has me wrapped around there's so many, I love them.
So this week we are taking a little detour from Amazing Spider-Man to go check out some guest appearances in other books. We've got Daredevil number 27 and Uncanny X-Men number 35. Daredevil gets involved in one of Spider-Man's tussles, leading to rocky terms with the Wall Crawler. Meanwhile, Masked Marauder and Stiltman combine forces to take down the Man Without Fear once and for all. But with both villains hunting for Mike Murdock, will their trail run cold before they begin?
I want to peek at that one more time. What was it? Leading to rocky terms with the Wall Crawler. That's anybody who crosses paths with Spider-Man.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
My good golly gosh.
I think if Peter was in his Spidey costume and saw Aunt May on the street, he'd fight her.
He'd fight her.
He's a dick.
He'd see Aunt May and be like, you know what, you old hag.
Taking out all the times he was mad at her as he's walking.
Oh no. So anyways, yeah. I you read that and I was just like, everybody, nobody's on Spider-Man's good side other than our homie, the Lizard, when he's not the Lizard.
Right.
Yeah. Basically.
And then he's always like, you're my one friend. I'm like, you've had plenty of other opportunities to have other friends.
Literally, Doctor Strange was like, look, we're tight now. We're tight now. I'll catch you around the city. And Daredevil fucking fucks with you too. And every time you see Daredevil, you got something sassy to say. So now, you know.
Something sassy to say. And also, I can't remember what he calls him. We'll probably see it somewhere.
Hornhead.
Hornhead!
That's the classic.
That's an asshole.
That's his nickname. That's like, okay. That's like Spidey for Daredevil, Hornhead. Like, that's okay. Used.
Okay, but you say that, and do other people use it?
Yes.
So Spider-Man is a hate-talking trendsetter.
Yes.
What I'm hearing.
Yes.
Because Hornhead is mean. I don't care. That is not a nice nickname.
he's got the horns on his head.
Yeah, but you get what we're saying, right? Like,
yeah, because, like, Spidey is at least part of his name. Like, you
or
know,
people call him Webhead.
That's true.
Yeah, but that's
but
also
like, that's like a little,
that's
like,
yes, exactly. Stephanie made a like, face.
That's a little stinky in that one.
Yeah, I guess the same thing of like Webhead. Like, ow, okay, whatever. So it's just, that's what it feels like. Hornhead. All right. Anyways,
but yeah. So here comes Daredevil, the man without fear,
the man with muscles,
guest starring the one, the only, the inimitable Spider-Man. Featuring the honest-to-gosh end of the Masked Marauder. And who's afraid of Stiltman?
Okay. So, several things about this cover. The first thing I said, because this issue is called Mike Murdock Must Die. And I was like, who the fuck is Mike? I was really concerned. I was like, is this one of those things where they fucked up and they forgot Matt's name? Which is crazy because we're on issue 27.
And you should have it.
You should have it. And the fact that you have it wrong on the cover is crazy. And then another thing about like jumping into like a comic that you're not like, you haven't been reading from the beginning. Jumping in on Stiltman. Well, I was like,
what?
Who is afraid of Stiltman? This man
because
looks ridiculous.
He looks like, first of all, I was like, okay, what is this? Horror Nights? Because the stilts, like, I don't know. And then he looks like one of the aliens, especially not on this page, but when we first see him in the comic book. I know I don't mean to just jump ahead, but page 4, we see him and he looks like one of the aliens from Mars Attacks. And I can't take him seriously.
I don't think you should, because
I don't think I'm supposed to.
His name is Stiltman.
Like, and he's straight up, like, they're stilts. Like, he doesn't have, like, feet down there. Like, there's images where we see it and it's just the little sticks at the end of his thing, just little metal sticks. And I'm like, okay.
Fine. Sure.
Fine, I guess. I was like, oh, look, Masked Marauder. We've seen him before. We get to see his little curtain face again. Mm-hmm. I do like his pants.
Yeah, he's got good pants.
Looking good with the pants.
This is a Nobel Prize committee. Please note. Brandech will little note nor remember what we say here, but the mighty minions of Marveldom shall never forget this breathtaking battle of babbling behemoths by Stan the Man Lee and Gentleman Gene Colan. Indescribable inking by fearless Frankie...
Giacoya?
Sure. And level-headed lettering by the adorable Artie Simek.
Artie!
We love Artie!
Yeah, I was pumped to see Artie's lettering. Love it.
So, yeah, we pick up...
I love that right on this, like, splash page, which they do call it I love the guest starring Genial Jean's own Vert. What? I don't know how to say that word. Variegated?
I have no idea.
Variegated version of, why bother telling you? You'll see for yourself as soon as you turn the page. I'm like, then why'd you write it?
Taking up space.
Taking up the space.
I do like this splash page also because we get a little hint of Matt Murdock being a gym bro. He says, actually, I'm kind of glad he, as in Stilt Man, got away from me. It gives me an excuse to catch up on my exercise while I search for him. And he's like hopping over a statue of the Thinker. I don't know. But I just, I love that Matt's trying to get his steps in, trying to get his reps in. Because, you can't be having all these bulging muscles without putting the work in. So shout out to Matt. He's always looking good. Love that guy.
Like, how else do you catch bad guys unless you're practicing your leaps,
Your leaps and
your
bounds.
hurdle jumps. Well, page two, we see it. We see our Spider-Man. And I like this, the art of the Daredevil, like him moving through that big swoosh
Yeah.
is very fun. I feel like
Yeah,
we
seeing
see
him
it.
go into another panel is cool.
Yeah, that's what it was really like. Ooh, the panels are like crossing, they're overlapping. I feel like we don't get to see that a lot, and I like that.
Yeah, one thing that I love about, starting in this era and reading forward is you really do get to see sort of the visual language of comics evolve. Because, like, this is something that will become a lot more standard later, where you'll have, like, separate panels, but you'll have the action kind of tracking from one into the other. But, this is one of the first times we're seeing something like this over here.
And it's very cool.
Yeah.
I will say that Jean's Spider-Man, obviously very ripped. We're looking at this panel on page two, fourth panel, and it's Spider-Man is there's muscles on muscles. But something I feel like I notice in some of the images of Spider-Man is Jean draws him very top heavy.
Oh, interesting.
Like, I
I
feel
didn't.
like the shoulders are really broad on Jean Spider-Man.
Yeah, he gives him sort of the Dorito treatment.
Yeah. And it's not
Interesting.
always, but there are some images where we see him, and I'm like, once we get to them, we can. We don't really see it in these like two pages because he's just bucking people all over the place.
I
When.
mean, that makes sense considering that Spider-Man does do a lot of like swinging and like
Definitely.
wall crawling. It does make sense to have a lot of upper body strength. So,
Yes.
all right. What is he? Oh, he's stopping a carjacking, and Daredevil is like, "Oh, I know that voice. That's my good
What's
home. What's up, Spidey?" And Spider-Man's like, "Fuck you! Get away from here!" He's like, "People are gonna think it takes two of us to get rid of three idiots. Like, please, you're fucking up my rep here, Hornhead."
Out of here. And he's so mad about Hornhead, who invited you? And it's like, all right.
Oh my God.
Why do we And Daredevil Double D is just like, all right, I'm just trying to ask if you've seen a guy on stilts.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man's like, no.
Yeah, it's weird because obviously this book and Amazing Spider-Man and pretty much everything else coming out of Marvel at this time is written by Stan.
Yes.
But like this, it almost feels like a different writer approaching the character. Like it doesn't quite align with the Spider-Man that we get in Amazing Spider-Man, at least in my brain.
How
Like,
so? I'm curious about that.
he's a little bit like, usually when Spider-Man becomes a confrontational asshole, there is some like some misunderstanding that creates that we usually see. We don't get that here. He's just being a fucking dick.
I may have to disagree with you because I feel like we've seen him just be an asshole out of the blue for no reason to people. But I know what you're talking about, because there is a lot of that, like those moments that set it up where people are like, Spider-Man, you fucked up. And he's like, what did I do? But I don't know.
The next thing we're going to read, for instance.
Exactly. Literally. Yeah. Literally. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I guess that's an interesting note there. I do love that Daredevil's like, what? Like, you can't even, like, smile under there? Spider-Man's like, what you mean?
How do you know if I'm smiling or not? My face is completely covered.
To which Daredevil's like, oh, Matthew, you left yourself wide open for that one.
maybe I have X-ray vision. Do you ever consider that?
How do you
Spider-Man?
Know? Yeah. You don't know me.
And also, okay, so he says, Daredevil's saying, how do you know I don't have X-ray eyes? And then he's like, if that doesn't throw him off the trail, nothing will. The thing is, we leave, we don't see them anymore. If Daredevil really had X-ray eyes and like he said that, I feel like Spidey would be like, oh shit, he knows who I am. He would be free. I think if anything, he should bring that back up and be like, yo, don't fucking tell anybody who I am under here.
You can really
again,
see?
Matt would be like, I have no idea who you, I don't know who this, I don't know who you are. I just know you're a kid. But yeah, I feel like Spidey should be a little bit more concerned. Maybe he should have like been nicer to him, be like, hey bro, hey, remember when I called you Hornhead? My bad, dog. And of course, you can fight with me anytime you want. Just don't tell anybody who I am.
Just don't tell him what I look like. Cut to these two bad guys, which is always like two bad guys who are like, I'm better than you. No, I'm better than you. Well, let me show you why I think we should work together. Look at my cool force field that I've created around this helicopter. Again, you can create a force field and you're not just trying to go patent and sell that shit?
Mm-hmm. So, do you want to know a retcon about this force field?
The retcon podcast? No, thank you.
It is later revealed that this is not actually a force field, but a time machine.
Shut up.
And the things
helicopter?
No, like the things that pass through like the force field are getting transported in time.
Oh, that's okay, now that's interesting, because that means that the Marauder didn't get absolutely fucking annihilated in the force field of the helicopter. Sorry, yes. Everybody, spoilers. Or maybe he was.
I'm double checking.
Because when we get to that at the end, I actually, like, my mouth dropped a little bit. I was like, oh, did they just annihilate this man in front of us?
It sounds like the force field is the Thanos snap, basically.
Okay.
It's like, oh, they're gone forever. No, they're just somewhere else.
They're just floating in a space that doesn't exist right now. But anyways, these two are, you know, it's just one big, like, dick measuring contest, which the Marauder is like, aha, look at this metal brick that disintegrated. And Stiltman's like, yeah, okay, that's cool and all, but look at what I can do.
So
get real tall.
So yeah, basically, he will show up again later being like, I didn't die. I was teleported in time.
Okay.
Or just teleported.
Forward in time or back in time?
It might just be a teleporter. Let me double check. Okay. I might have. It's been a really long time since I've read this early Daredevil shit.
Interesting.
I think it's just a teleporter.
Okay. So what is the Thanos snap?
The Tang as he...
Yeah.
Again, and love the movement.
Yes, the movement's cool. The Tang. That is ridiculous.
I mean, I think that's a perfectly acceptable noise for someone getting very erect.
That's pretty much what he's doing. And then he's sitting here like, was this fast enough for you?
He can get it up real fast.
Real fast, faster than the eye can follow. Stephanie's hand is in, or her head is in her hand.
Mm-hmm. immediately happened, I had a flashback to a situation. Like, that fucking sound.
Could you imagine?
Penises are already ridiculous.
They're as so an appendage. Silly.
And if it was like the thing, the thing.
I wouldn't be able to take sex seriously at all.
No, because sex is already an absurd
super silly
act. It's an absurd act. And I really I find it really funny when people call sex hunching, because that is they're like, oh, they hunching. But it's like, it's so accurate and so because it's so stupid.
Oh,
and so like
hunching.
People are hunching the thing.
They're hunching. They're munching. They're the tanging.
Yeah, hunch munch the tang. You know.
Oh, it's like in movies when they're like, oh my god, look at this sex scene that's so ooh, and it's like no
yeah.
They would have hit their head on the headboard and you'd be unfocused right now.
Like, yeah, and they definitely accidentally bumped teeth.
Yes, they definitely did, and it hurt and it was awkward, and then you have to get back into the flow of things.
Yeah, both of you went I also hate the sexy shirt takeoff in
movies. Hate it!
You know, who, because now, and then, like, trying to, that's absurd. That is not how anyone takes off their shirt normally.
And it's just,
it's unheard sexy.
Of. Yeah, of
it
course.
It's sexy. But if I saw somebody take off their shirt the sexy movie way, I'd be like, now.
Chill out. Get over yourself.
Young man.
Please. Okay, so fatanging aside,
right?
Stiltman.
They decide they're gonna work together.
Yes.
And what's the one information that they have?
They know that either Matt or Foggy or the girl knows the true identity of Daredevil, and they're gonna attack the Nelson and Murdoch office tonight.
To which he says they're working overtime. Good.
Good. That is actually not good.
That's actually shit.
Yeah.
So here's the thing about this point in Daredevil comics history.
Are they just always working?
Well, yes, they're always working. But what I was going to get to is more of the Mike Murdoch situation.
How long ago did our boy Matthew Murdoch introduce his twin brother, Mike Murdoch, who can see?
Yeah.
It's the most... Daredevil and Spider-Man are the most similar, I feel like. And same with Matt Murdock and Peter Parker. Like, there's obviously, like, a huge age difference and some, like, there's differences there. But I feel like the way they approach things is very similarly.
Yeah, they are hilarious. Because Matt, I could imagine he'd be like, it's my twin brother, yes. Yeah,
uh-huh.
I have a twin that I've never mentioned before because he's a dick.
Ever.
But he's also Daredevil.
So.
Like, what?
So, Mike Murdoch was introduced 2 issues prior to this.
Okay.
As basically, cover for Matt Murdock to be like, I'm not Daredevil. I have a twin brother.
So that means, did he get cornered then? Were people starting to think he was... Because that feels like the only way that would come up is someone's like, Matt, this is starting not to, things aren't adding up. It's looking like you're Daredevil, and that doesn't make no sense because you're a blind-ass motherfucker. So what's happening here?
Maybe somebody saw him mid-clothes change. Like, Foggy was like, hey!
Hey, what the fuck?
And he's like, I'm not Matthew, that blind loser. I'm Mike, his hotter twin brother.
His hotter twin brother.
There were these twins that I knew in high school that were identical, and
one was hotter.
I had a crush on Steven. He was like, I'm the hot one. And I was like, you know what? You're kind of cooking.
I knew I had triplets in high school, and one of their names was Katrina, which was also fascinating. She was the hottest out of the three of them. It was her and then two guys, but she was the hot, you know? But I couldn't get with someone with my same name. That's too weird.
That's real weird.
That feels strange to me. I don't know.
One of my cousins is with, his name is Markel, and his wife's name is Markel. Their names are spelled differently.
It's fascinating. Because, yeah. Theoretically, it shouldn't matter. But sometimes your brain is just like, but why does it not feel...
It's a little weird.
Why does it not feel right? I don't know.
It's a whole complicated story as to why Mike Murdock is introduced.
Okay.
We don't have to get into it.
And we're not a Daredevil podcast.
Yeah. Go find another podcast to talk about Daredevil, okay?
Or come back to us in like 20 years when we're out of Spider-Man.
Oh, buddy. All right. These guys get knocked out by some gas. Big surprise. The Marauder drops a nutsack out of the helicopter to pick everybody up.
That's exactly what happened. It was a nutsack.
Like, with a basket on it. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like it's a hot air balloon, but it's still attached to the helicopter. I couldn't figure out why this was necessary.
I don't know, especially if you can extend to heights of which are unimaginable. It's something else that I'm realizing I almost forgot to mention, and I really need to. I'm just curious if anybody in the 60s ever actually saw what boobs look like. It's look at the third panel. I know that coned bras were a little bit like they were more common during this time, but look at her. Look at Karen. What is happening there?
It looks so it's like the cone bra situation, but then I feel like who drew this one?
Jean Colin.
Yeah, I feel like Jean was also thinking about boob physics and how, like, oh, if she's laying, then her boob's gonna slide, but she's also in this cone.
Which, so no.
It's like it looks like a sliding cone with its breast.
I stared at it for a while and was like, I just don't know if anybody's ever seen tits.
It's giving 90s Lara Croft. But without the excuse of being limited by technology.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any hoosers. And then we're off to this wild helicopter situation. I don't know.
Yeah, they basically kidnap Matt, Foggy, and Karen, put them in this balloon basket, and then suck the balloon back up into the helicopter?
Mm-hmm.
Again, why the balloon? Like, you just have a basket.
Why? What is that called for? I don't know.
We are just too simple-minded for the mass marauders' grand vision that we don't
get. Damn. Mm-hmm. I can't believe you would just call us out like that, Stephanie.
Yeah, we're idiots.
Fuck.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm just looking at the second panel of page 8. Where's Stiltman standing?
On the streets of New York, down below.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He real tall, and then he gets in, and his legs go wheep.
I'm sorry. They go what?
Wheep.
I want to see someone letter that. you're talking about that. Sorry.
Yeah, it is.
I thought.
Wheat. Is it wheat? That's in my mind. It goes wheat.
Wheat. I don't know. It's got three T's. No, that sounded like four T's. Okay, come on now. And then, yeah, here we are. We're in this helicopter ride, and it's really silly. And immediately, they're like, "We want to know who Daredevil is, and one of you know." And Matthew Murdock's, it
And Karen's like, "Shut up, Matt."
Like, you fucking coward in no time.
Matt, what the fuck?
Foggy doesn't even say anything. He's just like, damn. Rip. Matt ain't shit.
Guess I won't tell Matt none of my secrets because he'll cave like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
And even to his own self, Matthew's like, oh man. And I like the way that he talks to himself in his bu thought bubbles. Well, Matthew, boy, if you ever had a chance with Karen, forget it. You just blew the whole bit.
I will say, page nine, that panel you were just reading from, the second, what is this, the fourth one?
Fourth? Yeah.
Matt's so hot. He's so
yeah.
hot. He looks great. I love his glasses. I love his little curly, cute, coiffed hair, sitch. He's just
He's an
a beautiful
attractive
man.
man.
Why is he not real
God
for
damn it, Matthew
real?
Murdock. Where are you hiding?
Also, shout out to Daredevil Reborn,
Yeah.
born again Christian Daredevil. Whatever's happening, very excited for that. Can't wait to see Charlie Cox's butt again.
Yep. My
I
fave.
did also scream when I saw my husband Frank Castle. He's in that trailer for 2 seconds, and I was like, ah! Sorry for the
No, you're
sound,
good. You're good.
but
I
can't
haven't
wait.
watched the trailer, but I'm sure it's gonna be a good time.
Anyway, Stilt Man.
Stiltman,
Oh, Stiltman.
yeah.
Page 11, he's trying to get attention. He's trying to pull in Daredevil, and he's like, I'm gonna break into this jewelry store. And Spider-Man's like, who the fuck's that guy? Oh, wait, that's Stiltman.
Yeah.
Let me go beat the shit out of him.
We Stiltman also, he's like, okay, I'm gonna go find Mike Murdock. What does he do? Look him up in the phone book.
Oh,
Doesn't
that's
see him.
right.
Doesn't see him in the phone book, and he's like, well, I'm fucked. How am I gonna figure out who that is? And I was like, that was your master plan to use the phone book?
Can you imagine seeing a man dressed like this stopped at a phone booth, looking
Just
at a phone book that's chained to it? Yeah, vigorously sliding through papers.
I will say, this is New York City.
I feel like people overall are gonna mind their own business while also in their head being like, what the f is
Yeah,
going on
it would
there?
definitely be a huh. Keep
Yeah.
walking.
Must be a drag brunch happening.
And anyway, Spider-Man comes flying in. Like he does.
Being, yeah, through a window.
Oh, so surprised.
Yep, through a window, and he's like, "Hey, motherfucker!" And Stiltman's like, "Motherfuck you!" And they start fighting.
Yep.
To which I'm like, Stiltman is like, "I'm gonna raise myself." And I'm like, Spider-Man, all you have to do is wrap your webbing around his legs,
Yeah.
and that's it.
That's it.
That's it. He'll come
No,
crashing down.
he's his stilts are too powerful.
Oh, God.
Also, Stiltman, you think getting tall is gonna stop you from, like, save you from Spider-Man? He can climb up flat surfaces because he's sticky. He's sticky and he can swing on his web.
Actually, what he specifically says is, well, your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man can go along with a gag, and wherever you can stretch to, old Spidey can swing to.
And that shouldn't be surprising or new facts.
No.
That should
No.
that's that there's n there's nothing new about that.
If you are a criminal in New York City, you should have just like a basic like outline of like Spider-Man, webs, swings, human torch, fire, flies, like the
Yeah.
thing, indestructible, can't fly.
Maybe Stiltman thought he was safe because he operates in Hell's Kitchen. He's like, yeah, of course. No other hero is going to come through Hell's Kitchen. This is Daredevil's turf.
Never, ever. They all have
their, you know, in the superhero union, they got their locals all cordoned off.
There's factions broken down. Yes. It's all very political. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. a lot of bureaucracy.
Yes.
When it comes to saving people in a borough that's not yours.
That is not your jurisdiction, and yeah. I'm going to need you to pass over all information and give it to me.
Did not fill out the correct paperwork.
Mm-mm.
Which is why the Sokovia Accords would have been bad for the Avengers.
Oh, yeah.
But and people,
there's that, folks.
I'm not gonna get into this again. I got mad again.
Yep.
About we're Captain gonna America Civil War.
So anyway, back on the helicopter, we've got Matt Murdock being threatened by the masked marauder because, you know, surely that'll bring out his brother.
Yeah, of course. Meanwhile, Matt is supposedly untying Karen, which I'm not sure whatever. He's untying her, but on page 13 in that last big panel, she's not tied.
No, she's not. She's just holding her arms back there, being like,
oh.
Well, yeah, no, and the rope is down by her feet, so, like, he's successfully untied her.
Okay.
But why is she still with her hands?
To keep them from realizing.
I think giving too much credit because literally the masked marauder calls out that he noticed him untying the girl's hands. Second panel, page 13. I've noticed you.
Oh, yep. Never mind.
She's just...
I tried.
Jean. I know you did. I know you did. And I'm sorry that we're here to completely throw it in the trash, but... I will admit this whole next setup that Matt does while he's, like, playing dumb, you know, like, you can't do that. You can't throw me out the place. Meanwhile, Foggy and Karen are like, no! And then he does a really cool fucking move that makes absolutely no sense to me, but that's A-okay. He gets the marauder to fire off a bullet to which he somehow perfectly aligns it to cut through his ties on his arms, which I'm also like, Foggy and Karen, are you not paying attention? This man just like jumped up on a wall and did a flip.
And used a bullet at like scissors.
Untie himself. You guys... I'm gonna need you to use some critical thinking here.
You know, they're busy freaking out.
I guess so.
Yeah.
And Matt is able to push the masked marauder into the force field button, so it gets turned off, and then he falls out of the helicopter. Oh no!
Oh no!
And happens to just perfectly strip off his clothes. Where they go?
Listen.
I have no fucking clue.
Right now, I don't care because I will say I'm like looking at it again, page 15, third panel. He'd be looking real fucking hot.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a question. I guess, okay. So, in my mind, because I'm thinking about the show also, is that his helmet is like hard. And I'm like, where did he put...
Where did that come from? Who
where
knows?
Where does his helmet go?
I think in this era, it's more cloth, yeah.
Yeah, so he just, like, has it, like, I don't know.
In his pocket.
In his pocket or, like, tucked in the front. So he
I think it's like, I think it's literally just connected.
Like a hoodie?
Like a hood.
Interesting. Okay. All
right. I think at this era, it's been a while.
Also, Daredevil cosplayers, my Instagram is Serious Danger.
S-I-R-I-E-S
Danger.
I'm just putting it out there.
DMs are open.
Make sure you have recent photos posted of you as the Daredevil, though. We need proof.
Yeah.
Yes. Recent ones.
Newer. Okay. Yeah. There are guidelines. There are stipulations here.
Thank you. Join our Patreon. Stephanie's horny jail.
Direct contact. It was please. Perfect. Perfect. Please. Anyways, they're like, Daredevil, where were you? And he's like, oh my God, it's so simple. I was just hitching. I was hitchhiking outside the whole time. Don't even worry about it.
Also, I caught Matt. I put him on a nearby skyscraper. Rooftop. It's fine.
A-okay, fine. Baby. Don't even worry about it. Now I'm going to come in the pow, this mask marauder.
And he knocks the helicopter out of control. Everything's going bad.
But luckily, Foggy knows how to drive a helicopter, and he evens everything out.
Yeah, and, what?
And at some point, Matt yoinks off the Marauder's... Karen does. Karen yoinks off the Marauder's helmet. And they find out that it's...
It's guy. Their landlord.
Is that who it Farnum. Is? I was like, who the fuck is Farnum?
It's their office's landlord.
Got it. Oh, hey, you hear that, everybody? Landlords are assholes.
Yep.
You heard it
I
here.
Almost said land... Hordes? I don't know.
I also almost called this man Foswell. I was like, it's Foswell!
It looks like him a little. At first glance, I was like, that looked like Triple J. And then I was like, I did the same thing with Foswell. And then I was like, oh yeah, this is a comic I don't read. Who the fuck is Farnum?
Yes. We did actually, we read, I believe, his introduction the last time we read Daredevil. Which is when we first met the Masked Marauder.
Mm-hmm. I just didn't remember his identity,
No, absolutely not. We haven't been dealing with the sort of reoccurring plotline of him.
Again, go find a Daredevil podcast. Stop harassing us, okay?
Please. Unless you're, again, a Daredevil cosplayer who wants to show me something.
Then we're chatting it up. This is, though, where page 19, where I was like, did they just absolutely annihilate someone in front of us? But now we have the information that no.
It teleports them.
But for right now, this man is no longer existing.
And Stiltman is like, well, fuck. I gotta get out of here.
He thinks he's gonna get back to the copter.
But Daredevil is like... Bet not, bitch.
Just knocks him down into the water and then is just like, the police will get him. I've had a really long day.
Well, and not even knocks him into the water without knowing that that's actually going to do anything beneficial. Mm-hmm. But then it does, which this just further goes to show who is afraid of the Stilt Man. Because it sure as hell ain't me.
So all Daredevil has to do is keep one of those, those like trick flowers with water in it. Do one of those little squirt. And that's how you get rid of.
That's it. That's incredible. How you fight Stiltman.
Incredible. And that's our little foray into Daredevil. But anyway, that'll bring us over to the
X-Men.
Uncanny X-Men number 35. Wow,
that's hilarious.
That's a really bad about. It just says featured characters: Archangel, Banshee, Beast, Cyclops, Iceman, Jean Grey, Spider-Man, Peter Parker, X-Men.
That's it. That's what is about this issue.
So, anyway, this is issue number 35 of the X-Men, titled Along Came a Spider. Stan Lee presents a Roy Thomas, Werner Roth, towering triumph of Titanic talent and tumultuous toil, inked by Dan Adkins and lettered by Jerry Feldman.
Boom, baby. This man looks like Syndrome from The Incredibles.
Syndrome looks like this man.
No, in my mind, he looks like Syndrome. Because of how I know and have experienced it time-wise. Right. That's my timeline. So my timeline, this guy looks like Syndrome. Mm-hmm. And it made me laugh a lot. And I also have always thought it was so funny that the Banshee... Honestly, like, I think a pretty shit power, because the only way you can fly around is by screaming.
Yeah, he's not good for, like, a stealth mission.
No!
No.
Like, I don't know. It just makes me chuckle because I'm just like, you're walking, you're going to check your mail, and then you just hear, ah! there's just a guy flying.
Yeah, there are also instances of, like, Banshee's supposed to be flying, which means he has to be screaming, but then he's also talking to people. And it's just like, how does this work?
What were you about to say, Stephanie?
Also, the way his screaming is lettered on this splash page, it's... Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. But his mouth is drawn and definitely. So is he going ooh or is he going oh?
Hey, who said it's coming from his mouth?
Shut your mouth!
You know what? The thing is, like, obviously, that sound, a normal person was like, he's farting. But me, I was like, you think it's coming from his penis? And I was like, that's scarier than the thing.
There's a little head down there. Just,
is this the equivalent? Like, what's the equivalent of a queef for someone with a dick? And apparently it's, what is wrong with us?
Where do we begin?
So many things.
It's a list. I was like, should we put it in alphabetical or like...
Do we list it alphabetically or like by appearance?
By
So anyway, we get this great splash page of Sean Cassidy, aka Banshee, with a good old caption of, "Don't worry, true believer, we didn't start out with this splash panel of the bombastic Banshee by mistake. Then why? Stick around for a few pages and maybe you'll see the method in our Merry Marvel Madness."
I don't think we'll ever see the method in your Merry Marvel Madness. We're along for the ride, but I don't know that we're ever gonna fully understand it.
But so yes, Banshee is traversing through some mountains of Central Europe looking for a group known as Factor 3.
To which I said, who's Factor 3? Because again, this is an issue I don't read, so I don't know who this is.
I will give you a quick rundown.
And while you look that up, I now just, why did I not notice, Stephanie, the ooze? Because you're so right. This page 2, it's just, ooh. What?
That mournful wail, like the melancholy cry of a soul in torment. So it's like really like, it makes me think of ghosts, like ghosts going, ooh.
So Factor 3 are this team sent by this villain called the Ogre.
Okay.
At this point, Factor 3 is made up of the Blob, who we have seen in various X-Men movies. We have Unus the Untouchable.
Okay.
I bet you'll never guess what his thing is.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this. And he just, oh my gosh, he wears his hammer pants and he's just exactly doing the shoulder thing like Stephanie's doing right now.
And a guy named the Vanisher, who first appeared in like the second X-Men issue.
The Vanisher appeared?
Yes, he's a teleporter, I believe.
Okay. Well, all right, now we still kind of only kind of know who the Factor 3 are.
It's not really important.
No, because you want to know what is important? This weird little spider robot thing that has an eye of something that I can't think of. That eye is reminding me of something. Like a cartoon or like an alien we've seen in something else, like Men in Black or some shit. Like, it's driving me bananas.
You know, the shape of this eye remind. Did you watch All Real Monsters?
Oh, that's it. Oh my gosh, thank you. That's it.
Wait, what's her name?
I don't know, but that's literally it. You nail on head.
Oblina.
Oblina.
Wait, nice no, she has two eyes, but her mouth is like red and looks like that, if that makes sense.
Interesting. Wait, who am I thinking of? Okay, what's her name?
Oblina.
Yeah.
Yeah, the mouth. I think, you know what I'm doing? I'm doing a combo of her and homie with the eyes in his hands.
Oh,
I see. I think it's a combo of the two. Yeah. Man, they used to really just not fucking care about what they were showing kids, huh? Nope. Any Hoosers. Yeah, thank you for getting it, though. That is what it was from, is Real Monsters. Anyways, this guy he's singing and flying around, and then he gets...
There's a paralyzed ray coming from the eye of the
spider robot.
Yeah, yes. And this guy goes down, and then he's like, I gotta get away as fast as possible, because I'd be passing out right now, mm-hmm. Which he makes it to the chalet, is that what? The chalet that he rented, everybody, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Man Airbnb'd a cabin in the woods, and I want to be the person who owns that place. Because I think it's so this guy just comes flying in screaming, and you're like, what the hell? And then he wants to rent your chalet.
Yes. I did laugh the third panel on page 3, where he's thinking, sirens be praised, the luck of the Irish is with me. Now, okay. If you'll recall, there was a Disney Channel original movie called The Luck of the Irish.
There was.
About basketball. And mm-hmm. I think that kid turns to a leprechaun.
He does.
It's absurd. I don't think, that's one of those movies I can never watch again because I know it's going to immediately suck.
Yeah.
But it holds a very special place in my heart.
Correct. And
to the point where I quote one line from that movie constantly, I think the kid, he's playing basketball. He does something and it works out in his favor. And he, in a very bad Irish accent, says, saints preserve us. And I say saints preserve us constantly. So when he mentioned the luck of the Irish being with, I was like, saints preserve us. Yes.
So
saints preserve us. Yes.
Here's a fun fact that ties back into
the luck of the Irish?
The leprechaun thing.
Oh. Okay.
You may recall I wish I could remember which episode it was, but one of my ending facts was that a leprechaun taught mm-hmm. us Wolverine's name.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, that's right.
That happens at his, like, family's estate in Ireland, Cassidy Keep.
Oh!
Fascinating.
Well, thanks, Banshee.
Yep.
Thanks, homie.
Also, it's funny that he says sirens be praised because the daughter that he doesn't realize that he has, who will show up later on, is going to be codenamed Siren.
Is he an adult man? This is where I was a little confused.
Thank you. I already know. Mm-hmm.
He is an adult man. He has had a background working in the intelligence community. He also did some criminal stuff. He's kind of been all over the place.
Okay, but yes.
So me and Kat are probably coming from the same place.
Yes.
We know the X-Men through the movies, and in the movies, they're obvious. Like, yes, they went to Xavier's school, but they were adults.
Grown-ass people
when they were X-Men-ing. So at one point they do mention themselves being teenagers.
Page 9.
Yeah. And I was like, y'all are still in school?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Xavier!
Where is it? It's on page 9. They get called costume teenagers, and I think by Spider-Man. which is so funny. Well, because then that means technically Spider-Man is older than them. Because is it at this point, he's in his
20s. Yeah, Spider-Man is older than them.
And he's like, these fucking kids. And I'm like, that's what everybody thought about you like 2 days ago.
Yeah. And now you're calling these guys costume teenagers. And I'm just like, what is happening here?
What indeed?
And all of them look like 40-year-old individuals.
Yes, they do.
They're all drawn to be... I just was... Yes, I'm glad that you also were very surprised, because I was shocked.
Yeah, I was like, kids, hello?
Uh-huh. What?
Yes, no, Banshee is older than them.
Okay. Well, cool.
Oh, yes. There it is.
I was also... I'm so all over the place with X-Men, because I was like, where's Wolverine?
Has not been invented yet.
Crazy. Yeah, that's wild.
That fucked me up.
Yeah.
Because I was like, hold on. Where's the guy who's the best at what he does?
Yeah.
He doesn't even... No one's thought of him yet.
That's... Well, it's just in my canon, in my brain, he's never not been around.
I mean, canonically, that is true now.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
because he's been retconned into so many things. But yeah, no, he didn't come around... quite some time.
Oh, it's this bananas.
And he didn't even debut in X-Men.
The fact that even Juggernaut is mentioned. Juggernaut is older than Wolverine. That's crazy.
Yeah. Fun fact. Do you know who Juggernaut is, like... Who Juggernaut's, like... main connection to the X-Men is?
I don't have a damn clue.
I feel like I used to know, but I don't know anymore.
It's Xavier.
Nope, that's not what I thought.
They're, what? They're stepbrothers.
Oh. Buck wild.
Yeah.
I have thoughts and feelings about Xavier.
Yeah, you know, we all...
Also Juggernaut, not a mutant.
Yeah, no, he's just a big guy.
He's a dude who found a magic gem that lets him be powered by, like, a demon guy.
Marvel Comics, everybody.
I've been delivered a lot of information that I did not realize.
Yeah.
There's even a point in time where Kane Marco is not the Juggernaut, but Pyotr Rasputin, a.k.a. Colossus, is.
Oh, shout out to Colossus.
Interesting.
Yeah.
On page 4 here, which we have these apparently teenagers going back and forth talking about trying to find Xavier, who's been kidnapped, which I don't even want to get into. Okay. but they're trying to figure stuff out. And then what is it? That's Iceman, right? The one who's constantly colored.
Yes.
Just as a white.
Like white and blue, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and very blocky, like ice.
Yeah.
But on page 4, fourth panel, he's like, I hate to keep popping up like somebody from Western Union, but we're getting some kind of message from the Banshee. And I was like, that felt like an adult joke. Like, that felt like, you know, in kids' shows where they drop jokes that are meant to be for the adults who have to watch it in the background. That felt like one that was not for the kids.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Not for the kids at all.
They get a message, a secret message, from Banshee. And it's like, calling X-Men emergency. I don't know why I said it like that.
Because that's like, what it looks like.
It does look like that, kind of. But it also, to me, it sounded like I was being Banshee, like yelling it. And that's not what's happening. It's a secret message.
And also, if it was Banshee yelling it would be like, calling X-Men emergency, calling X-Men emergency, calling X-Men emergency, because it just has to keep, otherwise he falls.
Yeah.
Oh my god. What a dumb power. And then he passes out.
Yeah, he the only thing he can get out is must warn the X-Men to beware the spider or whatever.
To which I said, that won't be a problem for Spider-Man.
No.
That won't be an issue whatsoever.
He'll be fine.
110%.
There's also something about a flying saucer, and they're like, what the fuck is this weird thing?
Aliens, I don't know. Gravo discs, I think they get called at one point. Like, it's all over the place.
Yeah, so the X-Men are like, lol, we got some shit going on. There's a saucer. There's things happening. But at precisely that point, we switch our scene to, nope, if you can't guess, frantic one, we're sure not gonna tell ya. And we see little Peter Parker on his little motorbike, his red motorbike. He wanted to get to back to nature because, he'd be stressed out. Apparently he went up against Kingpin, and I'm like,
what?
Ooh, what?
That's a taste of what's to come. I had to put these two issues together so that story wouldn't be broken up in a weird way.
So, after his apparently harrowing encounter with Kingpin,
which of course,
nature. Yeah. Yeah.
This fucking Kingpin.
Spidey gets back to nature and he's like, I can't believe I made it all the way up to Westchester. I meant to just go on a little jaunt, but, he gets off his bike to play explorer. Cause he sees, an abandoned building. And he's like, what do you know? There's an abandoned mill down there. Petey boy, maybe you're just Peter Pan who's never grew up, but it's time to play explorer. So like classic white man activity.
going into an
abandoned building alone just to see what the fuck is up. No self-awareness. No, maybe I should mind my fucking business. And next thing we know, a fucking flying saucer shows up out of nowhere and he has to duck into the building and that little spider robot thing comes out and he's like, maybe this is a job for Spider-Man and not Peter.
Yeah.
Which he says, lucky I put on my Spidey outfit this morning. Don't tell me there's ever a fucking day you're not wearing that bitch underneath your clothes.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe you.
And that's what makes me think Peter Parker's a little bit stinky. Because we know he doesn't have a lot of them. He does have to, like, wash it. So, like, he's, like, wearing it constantly. So he, like, does Spider-Man stuff. And then he puts his regular clothes back on over it. So he's just, like, extra sweaty. I feel like he's a little...
stinky boy.
A little stinky. But he still gets bitches. So that's how you know that he's, like... You gotta be a level of
that
hot.
That musk.
Like the, yeah, or, like, you know... Whatever spider pheromones he's got, disgusting.
but apparently attractive.
Yes.
I just thought about something that's way down the line.
See, what okay. To have a reaction like that off of the conversation Stephanie and I are having right now makes me feel so concerned.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Does it have to do with spider pheromones?
Oh my god, it does.
A little bit. And, yeah.
Oh my god, it does. Ew. Oh no.
When we get to the introduction of the character Silk, it's gonna be...
Oh no.
An interesting one.
Oh no. Okay.
So...
I'm such a child, I'm looking at an image right now, I'm so sorry, I'm cutting completely away...
That's fine.
...from this conversation. But, I mean, listen, this is gonna be no better, okay? I'm a child. I am a child. In page 7, third panel, it looks like a butt while it's opening up.
You know, yes. It does look like a butt.
It just looks like a little butt. By little, I mean, that's a big butt.
That's
but
a
like,
big butt.
That's a pretty big butt. And Spider-Man doesn't get to touch it before
nope.
A fucking weird spider comes out of it. Imagine a spider coming out of a butt. Oh! This is a horror magazine.
I know I teed it up, but fuck.
Oh, I had to do no work for that. That was amazing.
Yuck.
Damn. That's... I'm upset.
I will take this chance to divert.
Please do.
I realize what this... What the robot reminds me of now, looking at this page. Fourth panel. They remind me of, like, a lot of the mechanical enemies in Breath of the Wild.
I didn't play that, so I don't
See,
know.
I haven't played a lot of Breath of the Wild either. We literally just had this conversation. I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry,
I'm
Sue.
sorry. Okay. While you pull that image up to send us on this same page 7, I just love Spider-Man. He's so silly. He's looking over this spider thing and he's like, "What? This spider made out of metal? It's got electronic eye stuck on a steel tentacle. Oh my God, why am I here admiring it?" Like he's like, "Why am I doing this? This is no good." And then he's like, "Sorry, pal, we may be related for all I know. Still, I don't feel like sticking around for a family feud." Spider-Man, you know you're not related to a robot spider.
Why are you being silly?
You silly little guy.
It does kind of. I see what you mean. Yeah, those little spider weird things.
Wait, I gotta look at it. I gotta look at it.
These legs, though, are giving Doc Ock, which, I
That's
see.
very Doc Ock. That's the first thing I noticed. Yeah, okay, I see it. I'm still seeing more Doc Ock right now. I can't get my eyes off the mechanical arms, which
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that.
feels very Stephanie of me.
It's spreading.
I put my headphone in right at the right time.
Let's not get into spreading.
Well, or maybe we do,
Or
Parker.
maybe that's where we live. I don't know.
We've already spreaded cheeks like a few minutes ago and a spider came out.
Why? Who's to say we can't live within the spreading?
Yes.
Shit. What? I love it. I love us.
Oh.
Any users?
So Spidey fights this robot thing, and he's like, "This is fucking weird, but day in the life of me."
Like literally though, like he's like it's basically that's his entire energy where he's like, "Man, why am I even fighting this thing? I was just trying to chill in this abandoned warehouse. Look at this river."
Ground myself in nature, maybe take my shoes off and put my toes in the grass.
No time. No
No
time.
time.
Just like the X-Men have no time and they gotta go.
Because Cerebro has detected mutant energy.
Now, see this at this point when I was first reading this, I was like, interesting that Cerebro is picking up Spider-Man. Because he's not a mutant, but is he? But he's not, but I don't know. And then, spoilers, we find out it was picking up on the robot. And I was like, now how does the robot have mutant juice? I don't know.
Magnets.
Not mutant
Magnets.
It's magnets.
Okay.
No, because Stephanie said mutant juice, and I
Mutant
don't
juice.
know.
Mutant juice is it's your blood, okay? Because the gene, the X gene, it's floating through your veins. It's your blood. Nothing else. Nothing else.
Okay, I'll believe you. Anyways, everyone heads out in their fucking Rolls Royce.
And they're like, literally, they're like, "We'll have to hide the car when we arrive. After all, how many superheroes ride to the rescue in a Rolls Royce?" And someone says, "So how come we're broke all
Who do we want to have said that? Because I don't know. I need to know, like.
I feel like Scott probably said we have to hide the car, but the thing is, I don't know. They're a dynamic. I don't know who's the funny one.
I would probably give
I
that
want to say
line.
it's the Beast is who I think.
If there was more alliteration, I would give it to Beast. I think this is probably Iceman.
That was gonna be my guess, but okay.
I could see it. I could see it.
Straight from the professional.
Oh, it just made me laugh because truly they're rolling up in a Rolls Royce, and that is the most. this just goes back to Xavier, because again, they're like, why are we broke all the time? And I'm like, because you're not. Xavier just be holding on to the money for who knows what, doing his mm-hmm. little fucked up I'm a play dad bullshit. Mm-hmm. I got feelings about Xavier, especially finding out that these guys are fucking teenagers right now.
Yeah.
Gosh, cut to skacks and ooms and fataps.
Mm-hmm. And Spidey just being like, I better not get hit with this ray because I don't know what it does.
It looks bad. Yeah. Looks bad, and I don't want to mess with it.
He does, he's able to, what is this, on page 10, he's able to jump on the back of the spider and wrangle the ray eye to the point where he can, like, put it, like, flip it on the spider thing itself, and it rays itself with a thikaum.
Perfect.
And gets fucked, and Spidey's like, haha, I didn't know that I could do that.
It is super smart, though. Like, it's very, it's both silly and smart, where Spider-Man's like, well, I don't know, what if I just try to get him to shoot himself? And then it works out, and he's like, damn. Mm-hmm. Okay. But it does still affect him, and it gives him the sparkles.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it does.
Page 11.
Gets a nasty case of the sparkles, just as the fucking X-Men show up.
But Spider-Man is yet such, is his fantastic power that within a few short minutes, he's awake.
Yep.
This boy is strong.
Mm-hmm. And the X-Men are like, that, look, it's Spider-Man. That must be the spider that Banshee was talking about. And Spidey's like,
what?
He says, I haven't seen you mutant cut-ups since you invited me to join your little combo. Is it rush week again already?
This happened in X-Men 27, which we skipped because it's just a very minor mm-hmm. moment.
But it's just so, he is immediately an asshole.
Of course.
Mutant cut-ups?
Like, what? And then, is what's his name, Angel?
Warren Worthington.
Him being like, yeah, let's grab him. We can play 20 questions later. And I'm like, okay, maybe you should play 20 questions now.
Yeah.
Like, maybe we should start with 20 questions and see how that plays out. And then go from there. And that's not what happens.
Nope. They start fighting. Angel thinks he can just grab onto Spidey. Spidey's too fast. Hits him with one of them flips. And he grabs onto Angel's wings, and Angel's getting fucked.
As like, Spider-Man says, not so fast, fly boy.
And he does a big yank. I do like the lettering on this yank, because you can just hear, like, you know, yank. That's what it sounds like to me.
That's it. That's the one. And then a splash. Not just mm-hmm. splash. It is a splash, which is hilarious. Because then, and then, of course, I'm just thinking about this guy, Spider-Man, who's like 2021 at this point, and he's just fighting these kids. And I'm like, wow, how the turns have tabled.
You know what? I'm gonna, and this is also, we're going back to trashing Xavier.
On Hell
this
yeah. one. Please, let's do it.
Because this is the X-Men. They are a team. They haven't learned that you're not supposed to just one by one attack somebody. Like, you're supposed to, like, it should be like X-Men on me, and then everybody goes at once. Everyone's taking their turn against Spider-Man.
They rolled initiative. Yeah.
This is not the time for that.
No. It's actually quite stupid. They kind of like overlap one another because it, like, Spider-Man splashes him into the freaking river, to which then there's oops, that ice ball means your little friends are getting close. But Iceman doesn't take over. Beast is like, don't even worry, I'm gonna go do it. I'm not exactly a 98 pound weakling myself, my fresh frozen friend. They're teenagers.
Yep.
That's
And Bobby, you know, is younger than the rest of them.
I also feel like this is also an issue. This is, there's no girls here in this little X-Men crew.
Why did they leave Jean behind?
Because she's...
She has to pay attention to the...
Yeah. I mean, I know why.
The machine. Because she's a secretary and not an X-Men. It's called X-Men.
Men. You're right. I'm an idiot. What were you going to say?
I feel like if she was there, she'd be like, boys, this is not a dick measuring contest. We are trying to stop Spider-Man.
Like,
everyone's like, I'll get him. Relax. Be a team. Okay.
Just talk to the kid.
Yeah. You don't even have to fight. That's the other thing.
Uh-huh. It doesn't have to be a fight. I mean, granted, I know that Spider-Man called you some names when he walked out of that building, but you don't have, take a breath. Take a breath, okay?
They fight. That's basically what happens. And everyone's like, that's Spider-Man. He's a slippery foe.
And then we cut back to Jean, who is doing paperwork.
Yeah, literally slumped over a desk.
They make her put that outfit on.
Hey,
to look over.
It's better. Paperwork. It's better than the outfit she had originally.
Oh no!
Boop, 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 boop.
But then she also is
Parker's
here
googling.
Yeah, I know. It's unfortunate, but she is here sitting here being smart because she's like, wait a minute, I'm gonna try to connect to him and we're gonna see what happens. So long as he's still wearing his headband and she gets the message that it's not X-Men juice, mm-hmm. that X-Men juice isn't there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Stephanie. You have to send that. You have to send the one above.
Okay, I'm also going to save that one.
Because the quote-unquote spillage they are giving her in that is so...
Spillage?
Yeah. That is the exact word I'm using.
I want to make sure this was before. This might come later on.
Okay, well, I don't care. Either way, Stephanie needs reference right now.
I'm going.
Oh my. The female of the species.
Okay, I was actually wrong. The green dress doesn't come around until X-Men 39.
They're both green.
Okay.
Well, yes, but she hasn't had that outfit yet.
Oh, I see. It didn't come. Oh, good. So we went from this outfit to this outfit. Cool.
Yeah.
That's great.
This is like once they're adults, she gets the mini skirt.
Of course.
You know, at least, you know, she's an adult and she's like, you know what? I'm showing teeth. Showing teeth, showing leg.
Like, all right. You know?
Yeah.
Any Hoosers, cut back to this little argument going on, which it literally page 16 is just a bunch of shit talking, jumping to conclusions.
It's what happens when you get a bunch of young boys together, period. End of sentence.
Oh man.
Yeah, does anything constructive happen here? No.
I'm looking at it and I'm like, is there anything constructive? It's just Spider-Man being like, I'm gonna leave. Like, yeah. You got 10 seconds, and if you don't give me the answer I want to hear, I'm fucking off.
Yeah.
To which he exactly says, I'm fucking off.
Yeah. They do finally kind of lock in as a crew and, like, attack him, but it still doesn't work.
Yeah, because Spider-Man too strong.
Too strong.
He's too fucking strong. Like, the whole time. It's like, oh, he knocks down Beast. And
yeah, they finally, like, I guess when it's, like, Scott finally gets involved and does his little laser eyes and, like, cuts through Spidey's web, and Spidey kind of didn't expect it. So, like, there is a moment where Spidey, he, like, falls into water. And then, of course, that's when Scott gets the message from Jean being like, hey, girl, The mutant juice is gone.
So I don't know what's going on over there, but it's hopefully not bad.
Yeah.
To which they're like, oh God, we may have committed a grievous error.
Yeah. I do like this. It does. There's something here that like kind of shows that they're still like kind of young and getting used to this whole like X-Men and having like secret names and stuff, because Scott starts to call her Jean, and then he goes, quiet, Iceman, Jean, or Marvel Girl is
He does have a little moment there, doesn't he?
Yeah, and I also wonder if that's him, like, showing his like of her, because he clearly says Iceman, and yep. He's like, Jean, I mean, Marvel Girl. Uh-huh. Like, we know y'all smooching under the desk.
We know it!
They have not, they have not gotten together yet.
Yeah, but they're okay, like together.
Ryan.
The last panel of this story, or near the end, is a bunch of thought bubbles being like, I love you, and like all sorts of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, anyways, oh my gosh, what is this? Oh, everybody, Stephanie.
Which one?
It's page 18, and it's the last panel. And Spider-Man says, oh yeah, yeah, uh-huh, there we go. Are we all catching up? Because Spider-Man says, all right, you mutant misfits, you've had it. Yeah, everybody's faces, uh-huh, we're all clocked, we're all coming in. I'll say it, unfortunately, I'll say it. One cataclysmic climax coming up in which a slightly soggy Spider-Man creams four X-Men. I'm so sorry for yelling, but also, this is one of mine where if Stan Lee was still alive, I would have this panel printed out and I would slap it in front of him and go, why?
Yeah. That is, pornographic in me.
Like, and then his next line is, also, turn around when I'm talking to you. It isn't polite to ignore a threat. And I'm like, oh my God.
Spider-Man, do not threaten
these that children. Sort of violence on these that days. Violence. That's exactly like cataclysmic climax coming up. If this episode is not called Cataclysmic Climax, I don't know. I will be upset, I think.
Cataclysmic Climax, parentheses.
Coming up.
A slightly soggy Spider-Man creams for X-Men.
All right, well, if you've listened to this episode, you'll know that that's what it's called, because you'll have seen that before you got to this moment.
And now you got here. And
you're welcome.
For your patience, I thank you. And for your ears, I apologize.
Yes.
Because that was egregious. Anyways.
But yeah, that's basically it. It's
especially, you know, for Spider-Man.
Yeah, he's like, listen, I fought a fucking robot. It exploded. Then you guys came to beat me up. Can I go?
And they're like, yeah, my bad.
He's like, sorry. But they don't even say sorry.
Mm-mm.
But as they, so Spider-Man, like, probably just, like, swings up in a tree, but then, of course, Spider-Man is like, I'm gonna stay to watch these fucking guys. Who are you? Where are you going? You know, like, he's like, I gotta stalk him a little bit, and he sees them go off in their Rolls Royce.
He's like, what the fuck?
those kooky mutants pick a fight with me because of some robot, and then ride off into the sunset in a Rolls Royce.
Well, I stand here soaked with the beginning of a summer's cold. Some superhero luck I have.
Incredible.
And that concludes that issue of the X-Men.
Yep, Spider-Man fucks off and that's it. And I don't care about what they have coming up.
Nope.
Don't care. We ain't got time. Again, stop asking us to do an X-Men podcast. That's not what we're doing. Why you guys stop hounding us?
Yeah, leave us alone, why don't you?
If you want a good X-Men podcast,
oh yeah,
I will plug Jay and Miles Explain the X-Men, because they're really fucking phenomenal. at what they do.
Parker's been listening for a while.
Yeah, I've been rereading through all of the X books, but I'm doing them like all in the order of release now, because I used to just read series by series. So now I'm like getting context of everything happening as it's happening at the same time. And their podcast has been really great and was definitely an inspiration for us doing this. Well, for me, getting us to do this.
Woo woo! What is it again? What are their names?
Jay and Miles Explain the X-Men.
Jay and Miles Explain the X-Men. Heck yeah.
And for today's...
Big Parker!
I didn't know what was happening.
Good.
That was not planned.
No. Are you kidding me? I don't have a goddamn thought. Until it's already coming out of my mouth.
I thought we would talk about something that is pertinent to something we covered in today's episode. Which is the time Mike Murdock became real.
Oh, shut up. No. What?
Real.
Real.
Like real.
Like real.
That's not his face.
That is his face.
Oh, okay. I saw something different. I didn't know those were sunglasses at first. Again, always so excited. All right. Well, this might even look... Well, no, it's not even yet.
Okay. 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 Okay.
Okay. Okay. We got a little... It's different.
It's different, but it ain't bad.
It's not bad. And he's kind of giving that, like, you know, little finger guns, little wink.
Yeah.
Basically, there's a point where Wilson Fisk becomes the mayor of New York City.
Yeah, of course he does.
And Matt tries to assemble a team to, like, work on taking him down. One of the people involved is an Inhuman who goes by the name Reader. His ability is, like, literary manifestation, things that he reads, he can make real.
Okay.
It's also fun because he's blind.
Okay.
So, like, he has, like, a pack of, like, Braille cards that have, like, different words on them. So,
whoa.
Like, he has just, like, different abilities that he can do, and he has, like, a certain number he can do per day, and they get weaker.
He's got spell slots.
Basically, yeah.
Okay, cool character.
And he accidentally uses his power while doing research and reading up on Mike Murdock.
Oh my gosh.
And creates Mike Murdock.
He doodle bobs him right into the world, Stephanie.
All right.
You're like the only person I get to make SpongeBob jokes with.
Okay.
And so basically... Reader has this kind of existential crisis of, like, I need to unmake, like, this is a mistake, I need to unmake this. And it leads to a confrontation in which, you know, Mike Murdock realizes that Matt Murdock is trying to help unmake him, but Matt is actually trying to stop it from happening.
Classic.
And so Mike goes to work for Fisk. Then,
oh no!
He does a heist that goes well, and he hires Black Cat, whose character will, you know, meet eventually, Felicia Hardy, to steal an English translation of some Asgardian spells so he can become a full human. History gets rewritten.
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
That's like. They retconned.
With Mike Murdock becoming Matt's actual twin brother.
How much is remembered? Does Matt now, like, he's just always had a brother and that's how he thinks about it?
In the new rewritten past, Jack Murdock raised his sons alone after their mother Maggie left due to her mental health issues. While growing up, Mike would defend his brother from bullies who mocked him, despite Jack not approving of this. Mike would also form a neighbor with a friendship with his neighbor, Butch, who is...
Something we don't need right now.
Related to Kingpin. Jack urged his sons to study hard for them, to become doctors or lawyers, but Mike dropped out of school, leaving Matt to go instead. Matt got into the accident. Mike felt guilty, and stayed with him in the hospital while he recovered.
Where was Dad? Dad kind of sounds like an... I mean, I know he's a single dad, but he sounds like a little bit of an asshole.
I mean, he was involved with, like, the mob and whatnot. He was a boxer.
Damn, okay.
And then eventually gets killed.
Got it.
And Mike, now in this new timeline, sort of descends into a life of crime.
Wow. Villainy.
Yeah.
Not Matt having an evil twin brother.
That's one that was, but like, so Matt just now recalls always having a brother. Like, yep. That's wild.
Yeah.
All because comic Matt books. Had a dumb idea.
And here's the sad irony to it all.
Oh, no.
Eventually, Mike Murdock is killed off. When he is pretending to be Matt Murdock as a favor to Foggy, and Kingpin comes and kills him.
I'm sure Foggy feels great about that.
Oh, no.
I'm sure Foggy's doing totally fine.
So, rest in peace, Mike Murdock. You existed from August of 2018 to March of 2022.
Only 6 years. Our boy...
R.I.P.
Yep. to Mike Murdock. That's hilariously sad.
Yeah, and that's your little fun fact.
Oh, Jeebus.
So yeah, join us next week as we dive into The Amazing Spider-Man 48 and 49.
Yeah! Which apparently we're going to get to see Kingpin.
No.
Yeah. Okay, just kidding.
Kingpin is gonna be the next set of issues.
Okay.
First, we have to deal with the unfortunately named...
No, that's right!
Oh, yeah. We won't speak of it.
Who
yeah.
we're gonna call...
Drago.
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 Love it. Much prefer it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can also call him blank, being his villain title, to...
Right.
Electric Boogaloo. Or, you know, we can come up with some sort of sequel title.
I got nothing.
Nope. Nope, nope, nope.
Thank you so much for joining us. I've been Parker Robbins, they, them.
I've been Stephanie Johnson, she, her.
And I've been Catalicia, they, them.
And, we'll see you next week. When I...
Wait, did we have a retcon?
Oh, shit. Oh,
I
think I retconned in the middle of the episode.
Yeah, there was something. I can't remember what it was, but that definitely happened. My retcon is that Matt Murdock is my boyfriend.
My retcon is that Banshee screams through his penis.
No. Oh, I mean, I'll
co-sign that one. I co-sign that.
I think I can also co-sign that one. Retcon that Jean went to the fucking thing that wasn't supposed to be a fight.
Yeah,
she would have kept those boys in line.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyways, see you for next ish.
Yep, we'll see you next time. Thanks so much for joining us.
Okay, folks. Like support us all over the.
Oh
thing.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yes.
You know, we're on social media. We're on Instagram. We're on Blue Sky.
Blue Ski.
Patreon, of course, if you feel like supporting us there. And if not, just leaving a review or a rating of our show would be phenomenal.
Thanks, homies.
You want to give us money so Cat can go to clown school. Money for Cat's clown school.
Hashtag.
Was that me or was that Banshee?
You'll never fucking know.
You'll never know.
Yeah, bye.
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 The Retcon Podcast is recorded in Los Angeles and edited by Parker Robbins. You can find Parker Robbins on social media at Uncanny Parker. You can find Stephanie Johnson on social media at Serious Danger.
Sirius, spelled S-I-R-I-U-S. And you can find Kat Alicia across social media at Kat_Alicia. Alicia spelled A-L-Y-S-H-A. And the Retcon Podcast can be found at The Retcon Pod. Feel free to thwip us an email at theretconpodcast@gmail.com. We'll see you guys next week.